Welcome to a brief overview of the Wall of Salvation. In the first picture, we can see that God created the earth perfect, and he created man and woman as his image, unity in diversity, to reflect himself, and then he joined them in fellowship in the Garden of Eden. Everything was perfect. Everything was functioning the way it should function. In the second picture, we see that Adam and Eve have disobeyed God. And this has resulted in a punishment from God. First of all, a breaking of the relationship with God, breaking of the fellowship with God. And then the full judgment that he promised, "You shall surely die," begins. And it begins with their own relationship breaking with each other. It also is manifested in the relationship with the earth breaking, that they're not able to fulfill their calling to take care of the earth properly. And the earth begins to rebel against them and not yield the food and does not bring about the reproduction of the human species, except with great pain. And finally, of course, the relationship with their bodies is ruined, because in the end, every single person dies physically. And so we can see that sin has brought all of these evils into the world. In the third picture, we can see that God has decided to save a few people out of this awful ruination that sin has brought upon the world. The ark was the place that God commanded Noah to build and to enter in order to be saved from the great flood that God sent over the whole world. He sent it over the whole world because all people everywhere were only interested in doing evil. They were not interested in worshiping God and honoring God. And so the best thing that God could do was destroy everybody and save a few people. And he did this through the family of Noah, and they repopulated the earth. Unfortunately, of course, they still had the sin nature. And the flood became simply a warning that there was going to come another destructive judgment from God upon the sinfulness of man all over the earth. And that day is still coming, and the Bible says that it will be destruction by fire rather than by flood. In the fourth picture, we see Abraham with his son Isaac. And God commanded Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac upon the altar as a burnt offering, to devote him to God, to show that he loved God more than his own precious son, his only son that he had from Sarah. But as he raised his knife to strike and to slay his son whom he bound on the altar, God spoke to him and said, "Abraham, don't do it." And he caused Abraham to look over and see an innocent animal caught in a bush, and that was being provided by God to take Isaac's place. And this is a great symbol of the fact that God was willing to sacrifice his own son for us as the only thing that could please a holy, righteous, and just God, but also a loving God who did not want to send us to hell. And he sent his own son to take our place in death, just as he sent that ram, that innocent animal, as a picture, as a prophecy, that one day he would provide himself in the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that could please God, that could take away all our sins and make us right with God forever. So this is a great, great story from one of the greatest men of faith in all of history, and certainly in the Bible, of Father Abraham. And then we come all the way around the history, again to the front side of the wall, and we see that Jesus is put upon the cross. And the reason is not that he did any sin. The Bible says he did no sin. He did nothing but good. He always did what his Father, God the Father, told him to do. But he had enemies who were jealous of him, jealous of his influence. They were jealous of their own position. They did not want to lose any of their power, any of their authority. And so they decided to kill Jesus. And they used the Romans to do it. And the Romans had this horrible method of killing, which is called crucifixion. It takes many times days for a person to die as they're hanging upon the cross, usually naked, with great shame and great agony, great pain, as they slowly, slowly die. Jesus allowed himself to be betrayed and captured and condemned to death. He could have easily saved himself, but he did not want to save himself. He wanted to save us. And so he went to the cross to take our position on the cross. We were the sinners who deserved to die. We were the ones who deserved God's great anger and wrath. We deserved all of the shame. We deserved all of the pain. But Jesus took it for us. He took our place, and he paid the full price to satisfy the holy wrath of God and to satisfy the Father. And so we can look upon the cross as the fullest definition of love, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his one and only Son, that he had relationship with in eternity past and will have in eternity future as well. And he gave him to be that sacrifice, to die in our place so that we could be restored to our position as the sons of God, the children of God. And we know that God accepted his sacrifice because, as we see in the next picture, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The tomb was empty. The disciples came looking to anoint his body, but there was an angel there, and the tomb was open. The stone was rolled away. The Roman guards that were there to prevent anyone from stealing his body, the angels had already scared them away. And the disciples came and they saw that the tomb was empty. Jesus was raised from the dead, and he appeared to them many times for the next 40 days, proving that he was alive. He still had the nail marks, the nails in his hand or his wrist, and the spear hole in his side where the Roman soldier speared him to make sure he was dead. And yet he is in a resurrected body, one that will last forever, one that is in heaven right now. It says in the Bible that he is in heaven and he looks like a lamb that was slain. And so forever and ever, we will see the nail print on Jesus' hands and the spear hole in his side, which proved he gave his life for us. And it's the representative of his love that we will remember what he did for us to save us forever and ever. And we will worship him and we will return his love. So after 40 days of showing his disciples that he was really alive, he ascended to heaven from the Mount of Olives. And in the final picture of our wall, we can see that Jesus is ascending from the earth into heaven in bodily form. And the disciples are all watching him go up into the clouds. And then some angels came, and after Jesus was totally gone, they said, "Men of Israel, why are you still looking up into the clouds? This same Jesus who just left you in this way will come back in exactly the same way one day, and we are looking forward to that day. That day is called the Blessed Hope. It is the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And although he came in meekness, in weakness, in humility, to bear our sin and our shame the first time around, the second time Jesus comes to the earth, he will come in great power and great glory, and he will destroy his enemies. He will bring great wrath and great trouble upon the earth. And all those who do not believe in him, who do not confess that he is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, all those who deny that Jesus is who he said he is, they will suffer great punishment. And Jesus will bring the end of the world, and Jesus will rule over the entire world, and we will help him. And then, after 1,000 years of ruling, then there will be another great battle where Satan thinks he can get the victory over Jesus. And God will come and destroy all those enemies who are following Satan. And there will be a great white throne judgment where all unbelievers will have to face God, and they will be found that their name was not written in the book of life. And it says in Revelation chapter 20 that everyone whose name is not found written in the book of life will be thrown into the lake of fire. And after all of the unbelievers are thrown into the lake of fire, all of the believers are welcomed into a new Jerusalem. It's called the New Jerusalem, and it's all of heaven and earth recreated in absolute perfection, where we can enjoy God and enjoy each other and continue to learn of God and love him more and receive his love and grow closer and closer and richer in our relationship with God forever and ever. I hope you will join me in that wonderful, fantastic future. Thank you for looking at our wall.